Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope you're having a great week and that this show finds you well. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to listen to our podcast, and we hope that you really enjoy today's show. Ricky joins me today, as well as listener Thomas from Cleveland. He's our special guest panelist this week, and we're excited to have a fresh perspective on today's listener questions. As today's show rolls on, we get questions about mounting a fan on the strollers that you rent in the theme parks around Walt Disney World. We also get challenged to rank the steakhouses at Walt Disney World, Shula's, Yachtsman, and Le Cellier. So we have a discussion there. We also talk about A-ticket attractions around Walt Disney World. What would be considered A-ticket attractions? We give some Run Disney registration tips for somebody who's never run a race, and much more on today's show. Don't forget today's podcast brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney adventure for no additional cost to you. Check out all the details right now over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's one extra click that supports everything we do. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so very much to our Patreon supporters. You guys, again, continue to be the all-stars of our show. If you haven't, we'd love to have you support us. Just $5 a month, and you'll get a bonus show every week called Mike in the Midwest. So come on over this week. We'd love to have you. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2463 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well, and maybe you are on spring break this week. Maybe you're back to school or back to work from a little vacation last week. I know a lot of folks were on spring break last week. Either way, thanks for making the show a part of your week, and just hope you're having some nice weather. And, you know, we're making it through. Summer's right around the corner, and we're going to have a good time getting ready for that next Disney vacation, whether it's out to sea, headed out west to Disneyland, headed down to Walt Disney World. I know a lot of folks are getting ready to go down to Springtime Surprise down at Walt Disney World, and that sucker is coming up really quickly here in the next few weeks. So we'll be talking about that. Oh, that sound. I got to close that window. That's the clubhouse. That's the Be Our Guest Podcast Discord. I get excited every time I hear that. That means people are posting and talking over there. We're going to close that for right now. We'll talk about that here in a minute. So today, we have a kind of a special show for this week, the next two shows. But joining us, she's been here from the start. We have our good friend, Ricky. She is from the mouseforless.com. Got to check that out each and every morning. But also a DisneyWorld.com, which World After All. Because you know, it went away there for a while. And so
it did. If you go to a DisneyWorld.com, I don't know where you're going.
I don't know.
If you go to a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com.
It went dormant for a while, so I thought somebody would have poached that site. I have no idea, but you know, if you want to hear about people swimming in the Sassagoula, that might be the site that you go to.
Who knows? Be the other site, not mine.
Exactly. So, yeah. What is going on? Do you have a good Easter down there, Ricky? What's up?
Yeah, we did. We hung out with the in-laws. They were in town. We went to Miller's Ale House, which many people may know from down in Florida. When you go down to Orlando, that's a place that a lot of people go to. We have one here, and a few of them here in Atlanta. So we went to one, and they watched Lucy over the Easter holiday. So I don't have her right now yet, so hopefully everything went okay with the grandparents, and they will watch her again.
So we will podcast quickly while the grandparents have Lucy, so we can talk real fast and answer lots of questions, and then get the
show.
Exactly,
exactly.
Before Lucy does anything wild and crazy.
Yeah, but no. Apparently, I learned she likes rice cakes today, so that's new. I didn't know about that one, so. I guess I'll have to go buy her some rice cakes later on this afternoon or this evening before I go pick her up.
You know, I don't think I've ever had a rice cake in my life.
Really? I like them. I usually eat them with peanut butter on top, though. So I'll get they used to have a buttered popcorn one. I don't know if they still do, but I usually just slather some peanut butter on it. It's delightful. I love it.
The only time I've seen rice cakes are for price, like the pricing on the Price is Right, like in the
80s. Yeah, and they're like,
they're like a Chico-san or something.
Nobody wants rice cakes.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're like a buck. like in 82, they were like a dollar because I was watching. Anyway, that's what I watched during the day in the office. So today we have a special guest and he's joining us. Not from Buffalo, because he confused me earlier and I thought he was in Virginia too. We're bouncing all over the eastern side of the United States. But he's coming to us from the wonderful city of Cleveland, home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think on the banks of Lake Erie, as I believe. My good friend Thomas.
He's right there on Lake Erie.
Right there you go. Thomas and sitting on his shoulder for the video, listeners.
I love it.
Orange Bird. So Thomas, thanks for joining us this week. What's going on?
Well, thanks for having me. No, great. Great to be here. So I'm very happy that we finally got to do this.
Yes.
A little nervous, but I think we'll be okay.
Don't be nervous.
We'll make it as painless as possible.
Yes.
Well, Mike might not, but.
I mean, we let Ricky do this, and I get to do this, and Pam and Scott, and I mean, come on now. It's basically just us talking, you know, on the phone here. So we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time talking Disney, and you know your stuff. We're going to have a good time just hanging out here. So let's kick it off with a fun question from our good friend Len, who is hanging out in Maryland, and he says, we hear a lot about e-ticket rides. What would you consider an A-ticket ride at Walt Disney World? My only thought is the carousel. So for those folks that don't know, because we have a lot of new listeners that are kind of new to going to the parks, back in the day at Disneyland and even at Walt Disney World, you used to get a book of tickets. You know, you'd present a ticket to each attraction. You'd go around and, you know, you didn't pay, you know, like one price admission to go in and just kind of have a free-for-all and ride whatever you wanted. You would get coupons, basically, and just use them up at the attractions as you saw fit. And what they did was they determined somehow that, you know, this is an e-ticket. So e-tickets were the most attractive of the attractions, like the most in demand, the, you know, whatever, the highest rated, I guess you would say, attractions. And then it would go down to D, C, B, and A. A being things that were free. They were just basically things to entertain you when you ran out of money, you know, just to keep you in the park. So A tickets carousel, I would say. So I guess we could go around and our guest, maybe Thomas, what would you consider something that might also be an A ticket attraction around Walt Disney World?
I would probably go more of the shows, something like PhilharMagic.
That'd be a good
call. Talking current Disney.
Yeah. I might go that. Yeah, I mean, I might actually go up to B on that one though, because it's got 3D effects though. I'm saying, like, I hate to say this, but I have to do this to you, Thomas, because that's my wife's favorite thing in the Magic Kingdom.
She loves
PhilharMagic. I'm just saying, I got to protect my marriage.
No one said A tickets had to be bad.
That's true. I mean, the carousel's tried and true. You know, it's basically the whole reason that the Disneyland exists. You know, it kind of started with that. Ricky, give your thoughts. What do you think?
So for me, I kind of look back at how they really thought of A ticket attractions, and really one of the A ticket attractions is the Main Street vehicles. Now, granted, we don't see them very often because I definitely don't see them because by the time I get there, they're done for the day because they're usually done early in the morning, since they try to only bring them out when the park is not very crowded, which is usually just the morning time period. So I never get to see them. But for me, that seems like it would be a really great A-ticket attraction. Another one that I was kind of thinking of were the trails at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I think that a lot of those would not, like the Pangani, but the little ones. So the ones where you get to maybe see the otters or something like that at the Disney's Animal Kingdom. I feel like those are maybe more like the A ticket attractions, just kind of like little things that you can get distracted by, and they can be fun, but they're not like, you know, I feel like, yeah, PhilharMagic may be a B for some people, but like those are some of the things that are really good attractions in a way, but they're not like things that people are like seeking out. I feel like people seek out still, obviously, PhilharMagic. So that's why I think like A is like that.
Yeah.
So.
If I was going A, I would say back in the day, like when you went into the Main Street Theater to see the shorts, like that would be an A. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
because it just continuously ran. You would just walk in, sit down, watch it, leave, you know, and it just ran on a loop, right?
Yeah.
There wasn't really an attendant. There was just a building. You went in, it was like a little theater that nobody attended. So that would be something that was, I would consider like an A ticket attraction, like an A plus, B minus, maybe the Swiss Family Treehouse. That wouldn't
That's
be an A.
That's what I was thinking of too. Yeah.
You know, but I think that would even be a B though, because of the complexity of the experience.
There you go.
And like you also that. Get a Stairmaster workout.
You do. Yes.
It's good for your calves. I mean, come out of that thing, you're just flexing with those calves.
Apple Watch keeps going on.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does. Are you on a workout? Exactly. Yes. No, I'm not. But thank you for
Your April challenge is to do the Swiss Family Treehouse 722 times. Yeah, my April challenge today, like it popped up. I'm like, are you trying to kill me, Apple Watch? Well, this is not April Fool's. All right, Andrew's got a question. How would you rank these three steakhouses? Yachtsman, Le Cellier, and Shula's. I'll be honest, I've never been to Shula's.
I haven't either.
But I'm a Dan Marino fan.
Even though
the Dolphins make me cry.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Who's their current quarterback, Ricky?
Of the Dolphins?
Yes.
Yeah, no idea.
Tua.
Oh. Well, see, I had no clue. So there you go.
Have you seen that Tua commercial for Paramount Plus? Where they throw Hey Arnold. You have not seen that commercial?
Oh, no. I know what they do in those Paramount Plus ones where they combine a bunch of different characters.
Yeah, and they throw Hey Arnold because his head's like the shape of a football.
His head's in the shape of a football.
And the guy from Star Trek throws him. Oh, my. I think who's the band Creed? They play Can You Take Me? No, they show that one on Pluto TV a lot. I crack up every time I see that one. That's my humor. Anyway, what's the question?
Let's go to steak.
Thomas, have you been to all three? Because I have not been to all three.
So I haven't actually been to Le Cellier yet.
Okay.
But I've been to Shula's and we've done Yachtsman.
Oh.
So rank what you got. What do you think?
Well, everyone always says Le Cellier is number one, but I put Yachtsman only because I'm a boat guy. Ship guy.
Nice call.
And not only is it good food, but great atmosphere.
All right. So I like that. Yeah. I like that.
So I would probably do Yachtsman, Le Cellier based on everyone else's opinion, and Shula's.
At the last.
You know, I've been to Le Cellier many times. I've never been to Yachtsman.
Really?
No, think about it. I was supposed to meet Pam there one night and I felt sick, so I didn't go.
Oh,
I know, and it was getting this is double bad. Pam was picking up the bill that night and I didn't go.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
That's killing me right now. Sick. I know it's I was a Santa Coronado. I remember where I was when I turned around. I was like, I can't do it.
That's sad.
Double killing me. No,
I've done Yachtsman and Le Cellier. That is tough. It's been a while since I've been to Le Cellier. I have heard what I ate there the last time was something they don't offer anymore, and I so wish they would bring it back because it was seriously one of the best meals I've had. It was for the Epcot Festival of the Arts, and they had a special brunch at Le Cellier. Just that one year, it was the only time they ever offered it. It was the best brunch I've ever had. There was like a steak hollandaise with hollandaise sauce on it. Oh my gosh, it was so good.
Are you kidding me? I've never heard hollandaise sauce on a steak. You know how much I love eggs Benedict.
It was like a steak Benedict. Benedict. It was so good though. Oh my gosh. I wish they would bring that brunch back because it was just phenomenal. So Disney, if you're listening, hey, that brunch was really good. You might want to consider it. But I think that I might go as far as ranking those two. I would probably still go Yachtsman and then Le Cellier. But if they brought back that brunch, I'm telling you that would come back up again. That would be number one for sure.
Now, see, okay, so here's what I'd say between the two. Well, here's what I'd say between the three, because I know the three, right? I mean, I know them from guest experience. I talked to a lot of guests, and I've been by them a lot. Shula's is going to be the highest rated for people that are like foodies. I think like if you are like, I want the best steak, I think you're going to go with Shula's out of the top three. I mean, like as a foodie, pure foodie. I think if you're looking for the entire package, including theming, I would go Le Cellier. Because it's cool in there. It's like you are eating in a cave. And the food is excellent. You get the really good bread at the beginning of the meal. And they say the bread relates to different provinces of Canada. It's kind of a cool little story. You know, you got your... Because when you're there, of course, your servers are going to be from different places in Canada, which is a fun twist. And Yachtsman's kind of somewhere in the middle. It's got great food. It's signature as well. But it's it's obviously over at the Yacht Club, and it's beautiful, but it's not themed as much as Le Cellier. True. But you're going to get an excellent steak. But I still think Shula's probably has this a little, it's known more as a steakhouse even than Yachtsman, I think, from what I've heard. That's just what where I think I am. But you're listening to me. I mean, I'm not fancy food guy, so there we are. So let's see. Diane says Yachtsman's definitely more elevated with more options in terms of cuts.
I would agree with that for sure. Yeah.
There we go. Amanda's got a question over in the inbox. Says it's baseball season and a listener question. Hello, BOGP gang. This question has nothing to do with baseball season, but can we take a second to be excited that it's finally here? Yes, except that my Cardinals have to go through like a buzzsaw of a first like 2 weeks of the season. The Dodgers, the Padres, the Marlins, the Phillies. I mean, are you kidding me? They're going to end up being like 2-18 by the time. Anyway, whatever. On to my question. We're traveling to the world for the first time in June. My boys, they're 7-3, overheat easily. I have cooling towels and I'll be bringing them, but I also want to bring fans for them. Do the strollers you can rent at the parks have a spot to clip on a small fan? I'm worried if I get them the fans that they can wear, they'll just mess with them the whole time. We've had them in the past and they just break because it's too much fun to play with them. We can't wait for our land and sea adventure in just a couple of months. Thank you, BOGP crew, for all the knowledge I've gained listening to the podcast for the last 7 years. And to Mike for helping book our trip. Sincerely, Amanda. She's 23 miles from Disneyland. How lucky is that? Oh, my gosh. And 2,483 miles from Walt Disney World. And she says, P.S., go Yankees. So she's a Yankees fan in California. Huh. Interesting. Got to think about that one. So, yes, I think you could probably clip those onto the strollers, right, Ricky? Is there a spot? I mean, is there a good spot, though? I mean, obviously, you could probably rig it up to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to see.
Because there's new strollers, like, in the last year with those, like, Mickey-looking ones.
I was trying to see what they look like to see if I could find one. But I think that you can, if it has a clip on it, you probably would be able to clip it on there.
Don't they usually come with a, like, an overhang, like a little cover?
That's a good point.
They should be able to clip on.
That's what I was thinking.
Overhang. That's a good idea, Thomas. Yeah, because I could hang off the front and hang down. I mean, then is it kind of the problem, though, she's mentioning that, like, boys wanted to mess with the whole time?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be able to reach it no matter where you hang. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what kids do.
True.
I mean, if it's in arm's reach, it's going to be grabbed. I mean, it's like, tell them, hey, man, if you keep messing with it, you're going to be hot.
That's also true.
I think it's different if they're wearing it, you know, like if it's you're gonna mess with it more than if it's just hanging out in the corner.
Agreed. You gotta lean over and really mess with it that way with the on the stroller. So
my dad would have been like, "Look, dude, you're just gonna be hot if you keep messing with that thing. Stop." Yeah, my dad was.
You know how well that goes. So yeah.
My dad wouldn't have got me a fan. So these kids are already lucky that their mom's worried about getting them a fan and a cooling towel. I mean, they're already super. I need to talk to these kids. They're super lucky. My dad would be like, "Look, you're going to Walt Disney World. You're just lucky enough to be going. Just stop complaining." You know, that's just my dad back in the day. This is the difference between going to like theme parks in the 70s.
I'd be
like, "Dad, it's so hot. I can't go on the Screaming Eagle at Six Flags again." He'd be like, "Get on." He's like, "We'll go on the log ride next. It'll cool you off.
That'll get you cooled off."
Like, "I'm scared of the log ride. It's too tall." He's like, "Quit being a baby. Get on it." That's why I didn't fly for like 10 years. Okay.
There you go.
Jeremy's got a question. He says, "Mike, I have a question for you and Pam." Well, Pam's not here, but we can do this one. "My oldest is about to be a senior in college, and my youngest will be a senior in high school this coming fall. It dawned on me that our trip to the world last October may have been our last trip with us all together. Not sure if I'm being emotional or nostalgic. How has your vacations and trips changed, and has it lost any magic? Thanks for all you guys do, Jeremy." Oh my gosh, I shouldn't have read this one on the air. This is a bad one, because Paige was just home this past weekend for Easter. I might have slipped her a little money for a plane ticket to kind of sway the thing. I'm like, "Come on, you can make it happen. I'll buy your plane ticket so you can come home. It'd mean a lot to your mom, your grandma, me." And she made it. So I love it. She came home for like 70 hours. So anyway, it totally does. You know, you want to see your kids grow up and become independent adults and all that stuff. And, you know, it does. It makes you, but what it does, it makes your Disney vacations so much more special. Because like we're doing a cruise this summer and Paige still isn't sure if she's going. Now I've already paid for her portion of the cruise, even though it's 93 days as this publishes, because she thinks she's going, but she's also in the process of booking her basketball team. Cause she runs a basketball team up in Chicago, college basketball team. They might do an overseas tournament in July. So I keep telling her, cool, go to Greece, go wherever you're going to go, to Spain, or because that's what colleges now do. Basketball teams like travel overseas or Mexico, you know, during the summer and do like a little, you know, tournament or something, an exhibition. But I'm like, dude, just go in late, you know, go in late July, mid July. Like we're going the first week of July. So she's working on it. But of course, tournaments are when they are. But you appreciate the time you have as your kids get older with the adult kids, you know, and like, you know, with Mallory, she's going to be a junior next year in high school. So it's doubly so, you know, in a couple summers, neither one of them will be home. And so these vacations are really special now. So yeah, it's one of those things, you know, Ricky, you have so many trips in front of you with Lucy, but you know, like I didn't appreciate it at the time, but you will. You know, like it'll get to a time where it's like you just have to realize, man, because I look back at my Google memories and it went quick. It went quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it's going to. And, you know, right now we're taking her down to Florida, but, you know, she doesn't get to go to the parks every time because, you know, she'll spend time with my parents. So she'll spend time with her grandparents. And Brian and I will go to the parks, you know, and so we'll go and then she gets time with the grandma and grandpa, but, you know, she does not go with us to the parks. Now, as far as, you know, big vacations, we haven't really had the opportunity to take her on any of those yet. We're talking about it, but, you know, I still don't know. Maybe this next one for Brian and I might not include her either. We'll just see where things are. She may see her grandma and grandpa again. But I know that my time with her on her vacations is definitely limited. But, you know, the good thing is, you know, you foster those relationships with your kids and hopefully they'll want to keep coming with you on vacation. So in the future, hopefully that'll be the case for, you know, this listener and his family. Like, hopefully they'll want to keep coming on vacation, as they get in their 20s and things like that. And yeah, it may not be every vacation, but it'll still be special. You know, we still do things with my family, for vacations, and it's not nearly as much anymore, but we still do some things. So that part's good. It never fully goes away. Let's put it that way.
What's funny is Pam and I have never gone to a Disney vacation without the kids ever.
Yeah.
I mean, like Paige has not gone. And like I've gone to races by myself and I've gone to like media stuff by myself, like solo trips for that kind of stuff. But like Pam and I have never been on a Disney vacation. Gotcha. And we've never been on a vacation other than our honeymoon by ourselves. We've always had the kids.
There you go.
It's crazy. We've never done that. All right, next question. I know, it's wild. Alfred's got a question. What's your take on the permits for Animal Kingdom? So the changing of, I guess, Dino Land to the, you know, like Dinosaur to Indiana Jones, that kind of stuff, or they're going to look at the kind of stuff, and also Disneyland Forward, where they say they have enough land, they're going to kind of change the things out there. Thomas, have you been following that stuff?
So I've been following a little bit, actually. And it's kind of hard to tell. It's way too early for... I think they're only permitting some like 350 spots for parking for construction workers. I think there's like three trailers with an additional two, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they we'll probably hear a lot more by D23.
But absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably definitely the Dino Land. I don't know how far they're going to take it. I think they really want to get Indiana Jones in there. You know, but yeah, we'll see. I think they have great plans. Hopefully they'll have the money and they'll announce it and stick to it.
Yeah.
I want to ask Tom something real quick, and then because I do want to get your thoughts. But
yeah.
So with changing dinosaur, I like to call it CTX, kind of to extinction back in the day. I like that. So that was a cool name. But here's the thing. Like, do you like them taking that and changing it to Indiana Jones if they do, or... Because I don't. They have it already at Disneyland. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like the duplication of attractions.
There's something to be said for that, but I think there's a lot of possibilities by like introducing a whole South American or Central American, you know, culture with Encanto, and they could also, you know, incorporate a lot more animals. So it's still the animal kingdom. I think there's a lot of great possibilities. And, you know, since we never really got the beastly kingdom part, the fantasy part, I think if we focus more on the animal kingdom and get away from the dinosaurs in the past and keep it to the present, I don't know. I think that's a lot of great possibilities, you know, if it's done right.
I agree. I mean, it'd be obviously something new and exciting too. And it would, you know, tie into IP that people are excited about. I mean, either way, even with Indiana Jones, it's still super popular in Encanto. Ricky, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
No, you're fine. I was going to say, like, I think personally, just on a me standpoint, I would be excited for Indiana Jones because that would mean that I would have another attraction that I can actually ride at Disney's Animal Kingdom.
You can ride that. The dinosaur will not eat you. I mean, it's still never really eaten a guest. I think it's an omnivore or herbivore.
Wrong. I'm not riding it. It's not happening. I'm good riddance. Bye, dinosaur. See you later.
He's cute at the end.
Bye. See you later. I think that it will be... I think the plans will be very interesting to find out. Obviously, we know that they've talked about a few things in the past. First, it was supposed to be Moana. Now, I think it's supposed to be Encanto. And it'll be... They will absolutely, I think, be sharing details 100% on what they're planning for at D23. I can't see them not doing that, especially if they already have, permanent for trailers. Like, they're definitely doing work for sure in that area. So, we're going to get... the idea behind what's going there at D23. What it will be, I don't know. There's a very, very big theme park that is across the way that is building a whole entire theme park. And they've released some really interesting information about what they're doing to theirs. So it'll be really interesting. I am very curious as to how D23 will go this year. Not just for Walt Disney World, but as Alfred, alluded, as well as, Disneyland. It will be a very, very, very interesting D23 this year, I think. I'm excited to see what we end up getting, because I think that they've sat on their laurels enough now. I think we're going to get some big stuff this year. But... Yeah. We'll see what happens.
I think, again, we got D23 is the place we're going to see, especially Disneyland too. I mean, they've got the works moving, they've talked about the streets and the permitting of the streets to get that taken care of. They've made initial announcements, whether it's going to be Avatar Land or maybe it's going to be something a little bit, they kind of walk that back a few days later. Like, is it going to be a full blown land? Is it going to be, kind of a thematic couple of attractions or something, little ambiguity on that after, the first was like, it's going to be a full-blown land. And then back up. So I think that, I think we'll find out more details-ish during D23. Yeah. And here's the other thing, too, just so you know, we've set up a channel on the Discord. So again, beergastpodcast.com/Discord during that weekend. So folks, if you want to react live with other Disney fans, we have a channel there so we can have a live chat going throughout the announcements. Everybody can hang out there and just talk to each other. And that's going to be really in real time and share pictures and articles and, all that stuff. So just we decided that already a week ago. So it's all set up and ready to rock for D23. So just be over there on the Discord for that. All right. Question from Paul, my good friend, says, hey, Mike, hope you, Pam, Ricky and Scott are all well. Thanks for all you do. We want to have my second granddaughter's first birthday at Walt Disney World next summer. It's going to be mostly 20 and 30 year olds, some of us in our 50s, and 2 1-year-olds. Wanted your all's opinions on these resorts, the Beach Club, the Contemporary, and the Grand Floridian. So, what do you think about having a birthday party and hanging out, mostly 20 and 30 year olds and a couple of 50 year olds? So, 50 year olds are like the new 20 and 30 year olds, I say. Considering that's where I am now. I can't believe I'm in that. I should be in the 20 and 30 year olds. I still feel like Beach Club, Contemporary, the Grand Floridian. So I'm saying if I had to pick out, just personally, I'm just going to do this because we all know about the resorts. We talk about them a lot here. If I had to pick which one I would think would be the most fun out of those three for like a little birthday party for the kids and for the 20 and 30 year olds, I'm going Beach Club because of Stormalong Bay. Well, is Stormalong Bay going to be open? Ooh. It's next summer. It should be out of the refurbishment by the summer of next year because it's early. Even though they say it might be a little longer, but by summer of 25, it should be out of that. I would go Beach Club. Thomas, what would you say out of the Contemporary, Grand Flow? Grand Flow's got a nice pool too. So it's Contemporary, but Beach Club.
Yeah, I think Beach Club, and you know, not only that, but you have the Boardwalk. That's pretty close by, and even the Swan and Dolphin. So you have lots of dining, lounges. You know, if you stay at Beach Club, you're close to Epcot. I would go Beach Club, especially if Stormalong Bay pool is open, because I personally, I don't like planning a vacation around a 1 year old.
Well, no, heck no. Hey, that's great. Yeah. I mean, they're just going to kind of be there. And plus, like, you know, Beaches and Cream would be a fun dynamic place to eat with this kind of a group. I think, you know, if you could swing Beaches and Cream, that's right there. You know, and plus you're walkable to two parks, which means you don't have to worry about transportation. That'd be fun. Ricky, what do you think?
Well, as the person who has a one-year-old, I was actually thinking the Contemporary, and the reason being is because then you will be closer to the Magic Kingdom. So
too
you
bad.
Walk over to the Magic Kingdom that way, and it'll be a nice little quick jaunt over there. So that's why I was actually thinking about the Magic Kingdom, because I've actually done that. So with Lucy, and it was nice.
We did that, and that was really the biggest selling point was the walk.
Yeah,
it's like the only reason I like that hotel.
It was very nice, right? Yeah,
it was. It was awesome.
Just walk on over.
I want to.
Oh, it's even better coming home.
Oh yeah, of course.
We sat on the balcony and you know, watched everyone fight for buses.
And yes, and you're like, ha ha ha! Look at you.
Yep. Oh my gosh. Yeah, Scott went down there one Thanksgiving and he had that theme park view room in the tower at the Contemporary, and man, he would get up every morning super early and like send pictures from his balcony, like overlooking everything. I'm like, you are killing me, Scott. And he's like, yeah, just having you know, coffee out here on the balcony overlooking the Magic Kingdom and, you know, Seven Seas Lagoon, the ferry. And I'm like, oh, that's the dream, because that's one of the only resorts I still haven't stayed. But I mean, that's kind of like the Disney fans, you know, ultimate dream, right? To stay there, the monorail cruising through, you can walk right over. Oh my gosh. And Paul wraps up, says, Mike, I know you're already sad about July 13th. That's the last day of our cruise, because we got to fly home the day of our cruise. It's so sad. We got to fly home the same day we get back. He says, but then you'll be glad it happened and not sad it's over. Well, I'll be both. I'll be glad it happened and sad it's over. He says, also, the Disney treasure, it's like a dude's basement. Genius, print the shirts. Disney's missing a big opportunity if they don't take your slogan there. A blessed and happy Easter to you all and to the BOGP family. Thanks, Paul, in East Brunswick, New Jersey. All right. And let's see here. Here's a question about the Disney Channel. You know, I didn't watch the Disney Channel back in the day, but do you guys have any Disney Channel shows from like the 80s or 90s that you bring back? The only one I would say, and this is more contemporary, Good Luck Charlie was always my favorite when Mallory was little. I loved that show.
That was my favorite. My daughter's going through a Disney Channel, a Disney Plus binge watch marathons for all those, like, those aughts, you know, Sweet Life and
yes,
although she's doing all of those. I really love DuckTales. I don't know. It was DuckTales 90s. I think DuckTales was
90s. Yeah, that was 90s. Yeah, DuckTales was definitely 90s.
Yeah, Matt Parrish always talks about that show. Like, that was in his wheelhouse. I think he's about 10 years younger than me. He that was in his wheelhouse for sure. What about Ricky? Did you watch a lot of Disney
Channel?
I
did not have the Disney Channel because back then you had to pay for it.
I know. Seriously, we were poor.
So we did not have it. However, I mean, if we're wishing for stuff to come back, I mean, you know what I'm going to say. The Mickey Mouse Club. I think that would be a great thing to come back.
Just because you like Justin Timberlake. Give it.
Right.
Give it up.
I mean, I just bring him back on there and it'd be all good. No, I think it would be actually interesting, though, to see something like that. Again, we don't really have anything like that in kids programming anymore, but then again, maybe after that Nickelodeon special, maybe we shouldn't. So so I'm just gonna say, yeah, I've seen old Mickey Mouse Club episodes, and it was really entertaining for the time period, so I'm gonna go with Mickey Mouse Club.
Alfred says Fraggle Rock. Was Fraggle Rock not on PBS? I thought that was on PBS. Was that not
Fraggle Rock? Rock wasn't Disney Channel, I didn't think. I remember Fraggle Rock.
I didn't like it. There's something about it I didn't like. Like, it was, I remember kind of what, like, seeing it like once or twice. I was like, that's kind of strange.
It was a weird show, I have to admit.
There was something about the aesthetic. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know. But yeah, that was what I was saying. Then Kathy says she didn't have it either. So we're going to start a club of the kids who did not get to watch Disney Channel.
We were the losers who didn't have Disney Channel. This week on Mike in the Midwest,
I talk about why I play basketball, because you could go to the gym in our town for free if you had a resident card. So it was like something in the wintertime when my dad wasn't working, you could do for free. You just took a resident card and rode your bike to the gym totally free in the wintertime. That's why Mike played basketball. That's kind of the nuts and bolts of this week's Mike in the Midwest. So we didn't have Disney Channel. Yeah. Okay. So we had the show on Mexican at the animal at all around Walt Disney World a couple weeks ago, and hopefully that helped the economy there on that Friday night for Mexican eating out. It probably did. Let's see. Judy says one of her favorite things to get are street tacos over at the Animal Kingdom. They're at the Smiling Crocodile. She says totally delicious. So I'm just telling you, just so in case you're headed down soon, look up if you're at the Animal Kingdom. Place called the Smiling Crocodile. Who wouldn't want to eat at the Smiling Crocodile?
Oh my gosh, that sounds amazing.
Who would not want to get a street taco from a place called the Smiling Crocodile? So just wanted to throw that out there. I mean, street tacos, always good.
That sounds really good. I would totally eat that. That sounds fantastic.
All right, we have another email. Mike and Scotty G, well, I'm here. Scotty G's just back from the extended trip to Coronado. I put a question in on the live call-in show this past Sunday night regarding registration tips for a first-timer for the Wine and Dine 5K. I was able to register both me and my wife. Didn't have to leave her behind after all. Stressful, but felt very fortunate to get in. Thanks for all of your helpful tips, and I'm sure I wouldn't have been successful without your advice. Now, the Couch to 5K training begins for the 63-year-old dreamer. Take care and appreciate you guys in the show. Troy Martin in Hemingham. I'm sure I'm saying this wrong. I actually listened to a podcast this morning where they were talking about places in Massachusetts that you pronounce. Like, it's like Worcester, like how that's spelled way differently. And I know they said this town's name, and I wasn't paying attention because I was running. I know they said this town's name because they spelled it, and I should have paid attention. It's Hinghaham, Massachusetts, because they were talking about a commercial where they say it. Higham. It's probably Higham. I bet you it's Higham, Massachusetts. So you have to tell me, Troy. But, Troy, the point of the thing is, congratulations, and congratulations on still being married after November, first weekend of November, because you're both going to do the 5K together, and enjoy the journey of the Couch to the 5K, because that's the whole process of this whole running thing. It's great. And I'm proud of you already. It's going to be great. How awesome is that, Ricky? They got in. And the stressful part is registering. The stressful part isn't the race.
Well, and then race morning. That's a little stressful.
That's not as stressful as signing up, though.
I mean, true, but...
Oh, Kathy does. She says it's Higham.
Higham.
There you go. So there... They were talking about all these crazy places in like New England where, you know, you got like Worcester. See, I know Worcester because the Blues used to have a minor league team there. That's the only reason I know how to pronounce it. So that's pretty fun. All right, let's get one last question here from the inbox. And let's see here. Natalie says, that's a running question too. Hey, Mike and crew, I've been wanting to do my first Run Disney, but have been very intimidated by the whole process. I'm a veteran at planning Disney World trips, but for some reason, the whole Run Disney process scares me. I was wondering if you could explain the process from start to finish. When do we need to sign up? How do we sign up? And what a typical race weekend looks like? Thanks so much. Okay, well, real quick, I mean, it's not that much different. The first thing you want to do is you sign up for the race. Actually, well, I mean, you can sign up for your hotel first. I'm trying to think. So the next race weekend that you would sign up for, they just did Wine and Dine. So the next big race weekend that you can sign up for is Marathon Weekend 2025, right, Ricky?
Yes.
It's and coming that up happens soon. In the next like, couple of weeks.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Because I've already signed up with the charity. Gotcha. So, but that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. Now, you could already go ahead and book your room for that. I have people that have already booked their rooms for Princess 2025. I have people that have booked their rooms for Springtime Surprise 2025. Because remember, you can cancel those if you don't get into the race and get your deposit back, no problem. And that's probably the best thing to do. For example, today I had a guest that was wanting to book Pop Century or Art of Animation in a Little Mermaid room for Wine and Dine this year. Guess what? No rooms that weekend already, because those have been snagged up for months already. So they had to end up somewhere else because those are long gone. And you might say, hey, Mike, it's only April 1st. But the runners got those months ago because those are popular resorts for the Run Disney weekends. Anyway, what I would do, you can get your hotel first or you can sign up for the race first. I'd probably grab your hotel first. Then, like I just joked about, the Run Disney registration is, there's no two ways about it. It's stressful. You get onto the Run Disney site, usually opens up at 10 a.m. Eastern on the registration day. You just go to rundisney.com to see the actual day you register. And you're going to get in this virtual queue thing. It's like a Ticketmaster thing. And you can't refresh. You got to do all this stuff. You got to wait. You're probably going to do multiple browsers. And then when you get in, like when it's your time, man, you got to have your credit card ready. You got to type all your stuff in as fast as you can and just kind of, you know, do whatever you can. Say your prayers to whoever you're going to say prayers to your Nikes or, you know, your I don't know, your Hokas. And just hope that you get in. And when you do, you're like, whew. That took 5 years off my life every time you do that. And then you get happy and you post your picture that you got your confirmation and your social media and you're like, woohoo. Okay, now I'm running 26 miles and I just paid way too much money to do that. But that's kind of how it goes. And then after that, you just kind of plan it out as a regular vacation to Walt Disney World. Of course, now you're going to be more focused on your meals because that's why you run. But that's basically it. Ricky, anything else I've left out? I mean, really, it's just signing up for the race.
Yeah. I know. I think that's really good. Good steps by step process of, you know, that the things you got, obviously you have to think about what you're packing and make sure you take, you know, you plan to take all the things that you're going to need for actually running as well. So that's something to consider, but, you know, don't forget, you know, any gels or anything that you take, you know, to keep you going with the stamina, make sure you train. Let me tell you, as someone who hasn't fully trained for races, make sure you actually go out there and do it.
I used to not train, and now I'm on the other side of it. Like, I overtrain.
It's going to be important.
Don't
do what I did. That's why I'm retired. So, yeah, but it's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed the races that I've done. I'm very happy to be retired, but it's a really fun experience to get to do, for sure.
Thomas, have you ever done a Run Disney event?
No, I haven't. And I actually like that question because just listening to you guys, it sounds very intimidating. So I could see how if you're not used to it or you don't really know many people, it does sound intimidating trying to get in there and spend all that money.
Right.
But I've wanted to, but it's a hard sell to take another weekend off and go to Disney World.
Definitely understandable. Just so you can go running, right? Yeah.
It's really wild though, because the thing is, and Tanja's in the chat down in Nashville or down in Tennessee. She comes to the races. She's one of our lizards and a good friend. And I know she runs these races. I've seen her many times. And it's one of those things though, like once you do it once, it's very addicting. Cause like you get these cool medals, you get pictures of you on the course, you get to see parts of the theme parks you don't normally see because you're backstage. They really kind of build you up as the experience happens. It's really a neat. You get to go to the expo. It's a cool way to see Walt Disney World in a way that most people don't. So I think that's what the draw is, especially after you do it one time. It's probably got a super high return rate. Like once you do it once, I think people go back and do it time and time. I mean, I started doing this back in like 2006 and, you know, here it is 2024 and I'm still doing it, even though my knees are like, stop, Mike, quit. But the camaraderie of the whole experience, it's a cool way to see Walt Disney World and have a different type Disney vacation. But you're right. I mean, it is intimidating to sign up and to get that taste of it. And it's expensive. You know,
I have done during COVID. I think it was listening to you guys. I wound up signing up for one of the virtual.
Awesome.
That's a good introduction to it too.
Yeah.
So it was cool, but it's definitely not the same experience. But
now, with the virtual,
I was dipping my toes into it.
With a virtual, I believe though, did they not have like a limited number even with the signups with that? Like people, they sold out on the virtuals, which I think is like so dumb because like, why would you ever have a capacity for virtuals? Just print as many medals as people can sign up, because basically you're just printing money at that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they're making money on the medals, like in shirts. Like, why would they ever cap that for virtuals?
It seems to have opened up, because I looked, I think, for last Wine and Dine or last marathon. I think last marathon. And there's still spots open. So I think they opened it up. They might have got kind of cautious with the first virtual ones.
Huh. Yeah, because Scott was like, it's sold out, the virtual. I'm like, why would a virtual ever sell out? Like, from a business standpoint, right? I mean, if you could have a million virtual runners, why would you not? Because I guarantee you they're making a profit on every virtual runner with the medal and the shirt kind of thing, the pack. You know, everybody's running it at home. That was one of the things I never understood. Because, you know, everybody's buying into the experience. You're doing it at home. Everybody's getting what they want, and you're buying a service, basically. There's to say you're selling out. I get it why they sell out at Walt Disney World. There's X amount of space on the course. You know, you can't have a million people running that morning. But, you know, the virtual kind of thing got me. I was like, what are they doing? Anyway, and Don just says, yes, it's so addictive. Take all my money. Absolutely. When I see my medals, I love, because they're right at the base of my basement when I come downstairs. I love them. But then one day somebody asked me, like, how much for each one of those? I'm like, stop. Don't ask me how much
each one of those are.
Stop. I could have like a really nice car instead of my 2012 Jeep that has all the bangs and scratches on it. That's why I drive a Jeep that's all tore up, because it's paid for, and I'll be driving it for another 10 years because I run those dumb races all the time. But I have fun. That's what I do. Anyway, we're going to get out of here, but we're going to be back on Friday with a fun show. We're talking best character experiences around Walt Disney World from the past, and also some you might look for in your next vacation that you might not think of. So we're going to have a good time talking character interactions on Friday show. Thomas is going to be there with us as well. Ricky's going to be here. So come on back on Friday. But don't forget, the show continues right now in the Discord. So come on over to the clubhouse. It's brguestpodcast.com/Discord. We'll be waiting for you. And our show is brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan that next Disney vacation for no additional cost to you. Just swing by the website today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys are the best. Just $5 a month supports everything we do with all the hosting and bandwidth and video support. It really does help us out. So come on over. You get the bonus show every week as well, called Mike in the Midwest. It's patreon.com/brguestpodcast. You can follow Ricky on the social media. She's at Ricky Nibs, RAKKINIBS. I'm at brguestmike. All the places. And we'll have a live show this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Hashtag Scotty G will be back. I'll have lots to share. And you can give us a call. We'll be talking Disney. So join us in all the places for that as well. All right, time to jump out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. Hope you will too. So until then, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.